Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to Capital Irish, the Irish-related program that comes to you every Sunday at high noon on Wellington Access Radio, 106.1 FM. And you can listen to it in any part of the world on your laptop by going to wellingtonaccessradio.org.nz. My name is Jim Frail, originally from County Mayo. With me in the studio doing the important technical job is Ray Ferguson, and he comes from County Cavan originally. Well, I have, myself and my wife Mary have been in away for 8 weeks, and we spend that 8 weeks between England and Ireland. That was to see family, and we had not been back, as many of you haven't, I suppose, for about 5 years because of the COVID lockdown. It was wonderful to see and meet again with my four siblings, three in Ireland and one in Devon, England. Also, two daughters in London and their husbands, and four grandchildren. Also, a son in Yorkshire and his wife. Ireland was great, magnificent hospitality. The country is prosperous. Fine modern homes everywhere, even in remote places in the west of Ireland where we spent our time. And my wife Mary, who is a Kiwi, but her parents were from Galway and County Clare. Well, one of her cousins in Galway, Mary Greeley, collected her in Westport, County Mayo, and generously drove her to see surviving cousins of hers in County Galway and, of course, in County Clare. Thank you to everyone in Ireland and England for your wonderful hospitality. We'll never forget it. You were just great. I will play a song by my, and this song is my old dear Galway Bay that my sister Mary sang for Mary and myself before we left Ireland. My sister is a wonderful singer, but unfortunately I don't have a recording of her singing this particular song, so we will have Doris Keane's version of this lovely song. Hope you like it.
And a heart of fire and small.
I hope you people enjoy that. Well, with the Rugby World Cup in all the news and Ireland's great progress so far, the Irish Times last week had an interesting article, and it said the number of registered rugby players in Ireland has grown 35% since 2003. In the 1980s, there were 17,000 registered rugby players. By 2021, there were 156 players. Now, the growth of women players has even been greater, with a 45% increase in registered players in the same period of time. There has also been a 20% increase in attendance at matches all over the country. That's over the past 20 years. Johnny Sexton, Ireland's oldest ever international player at 38 years of age. He has overtaken John Hayes, who was the previous eldest at 37. And of course, Sexton has done a wonderful job and is still doing a wonderful job at this World Cup. So we all pray and hope that he will be there for the big one and that they will win the World Cup. But so far, it's been good. The Irish Taoiseach, another article in the Times, Leo Varadkar, recently said that he believes there will be a united Ireland in his lifetime. Well, he was immediately reprimanded, not only by the DUP in the north of Ireland, which was to be expected, but also by the British Secretary for Northern Ireland, Chris Heaton Harris. There was great hope back in 1998 when the Good Friday Agreement was signed. It all looked promising with Ian Paisley and Martin McGuinness put their old differences aside and agreed on a co-government. Well, the Chuckling Brothers, they were called. But those days, unfortunately, are long gone. The Northern Assembly has been mothballed for the past 5 years out of the last 7 years. So there's unfortunately little hope that the two unionist parties will agree to govern with Sinn Féin, which can only lead to conflict. And stalemate. Well, that's my opinion, but I would love to be proved wrong and that the DUP have a change of heart. At least there is one issue that both unionist parties agree with Sinn Féin on, and that's the legacy bill that the British Tory government have recently passed. All political parties in the North, as well as, of course, all the political parties in the Republic, have opposed this bill. This bill seeks to do away with investigations, and inquests into troubled era cases. The British government does not want to be embarrassed by the illegal conduct of its soldiers during the Northern conflict. They want to ignore the victims and close the door on families ever getting truth and justice. The British Labour Party have promised to repeal this law if they are elected next year. Well, I will believe that when I see it. Another bit of news. The new Late Late Show recommenced in September, that's this month. This is the longest running of that kind of show in the world. With this new presenter, the new presenter is Patrick Keelty, and he comes from County Down. The show, his first one, was a great success with 22% increase of audience from the last show, which was done, of course, by now partly disgraced presenter Ryan Tubridy earlier this year. Keelty's late father, Jack, was murdered by the Ulster Freedom Fighters, that's a Protestant extremist organisation, back in 1988. His first guests on his show were former President of Ireland, Mary McAleese, who served two terms, and Republic of Ireland football great James McLean, and also Irish comedian Tommy Tiernan. Recalling his life growing up in the north of Ireland during the Troubles, Keelty said that his village, Dundrum, in County Down, had a population of about 500 people. He said there were two primary schools, one Protestant and one Catholic. Many people from the north did not meet anyone from the opposite religion until they went to university. And unfortunately, that's still true to a great extent. He said the people of Ireland should stop seeing the island of Ireland in tourism terms as north and south, and see it instead as the outsiders, the tourists see it, that is, as one island. He said since the peace settlement, there has been a great energy up in the north. He says so many businesses that did not exist before and are all tourism based. So let's hope that that continues. I will now play another old song that my sister Mary and her husband John have sung for me many times over the years on our cherished visits home. They used to sing this at parties and also in pubs. So this is, I hope you like it. As I said, this version is by Celtic Woman. I think it's important to keep the old Irish songs alive.
She wore a bonnet.
Often on my programs, I talk about sad and happy events in Irish history, events that helped make us who we are today. But some Irish who were lauded in their time as heroes were not so great. One of those was a Kerry man, originally from Ballyfeilliter, by the name of Patrick Edward O'Connor. There's a statue of him at the Fort Douglas Military Museum in America, in Salt Lake City. Now, Irish Central had a story recently about O'Connor, and it was quoting from historian Rod Miller's book called Massacre at Bear River. 200 soldiers under the command of O'Connor, this was during the American Civil War, January 1863, attacked the Indian Shoshone tribe at Bear River in Idaho. The Indians, outnumbered, etc., and not having the same armaments, asked to surrender, but received no mercy from Mr. O'Connor. What followed was a brutal massacre of more than 450 men, women and children. It's the largest such massacre of Native Americans in United States history. The Kerry man was promoted to Brigadier General as a reward, who was promoted by Abraham Lincoln and his government. They called this a victory. The massacre was painted as a battle, and it stayed that way for more than 100 years. But the Shoshone people did not forget and have battled for decades to have the true story told. They have at last succeeded in getting the United States government to describe the event as a massacre, not just a battle. Now, the Irish Central says, if we celebrate men or people like John Kennedy and Joe Biden, we should also account for the story of Patrick Edward O'Connor, who was nothing but a war criminal. I agree. We are all horrified when we read of Russian war crimes in the Ukraine or Cromwell's massacres in Drogheda and Wexford. So it may embarrass us to admit that we also had some bad apples amongst us. Well, talking of Cromwell, they still have his statue outside the British Houses of Parliament. And I would bet that the Americans will not remove the Kerry man statue from outside their military museum in Fort Douglas, Salt Lake City, Utah. Another little thing, that after that particular massacre of the Shoshone people, the survivors converted in mass to the Church of the Latter-day Saints, better known as the Mormons, under their president at the time, Brigham Young, who incidentally had 25 wives. But the Mormons must have been more sympathetic to the native peoples than the Lincoln government. 27 years later from that massacre in 1890, the American government hadn't learned anything because at Wounded Knee, North Dakota, 300-odd Lakota Indians were also massacred. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? The Irish Central says there is a reason that the Bear River Massacre and indeed other massacres is forgotten in American history. It's an uncomfortable reminder, they said, of how the America of today came into being. The death and brutality dealt to the natives by the American government and its push to colonize and civilize the continent, from their saying, from sea to shining sea. Well, the Irish Central recently reviewed another interesting book by Irish military historian Dan Harvey. Now, this book, it's called A Bloody Landing, and it tells a different story. It tells the heroic story about Irish-born soldiers' contribution to D-Day. That was the 6th of June, 1944. The historian says that Irishmen in American, Canadian, British, Australian, New Zealand, and other uniforms were heavily involved in the terrifying D-Day battle. It is fitting, he says, that finally, the Irish involvement is fully acknowledged. They were also, he says, prominent among the planners and commanders of the greatest military operation in the history of warfare. Harvey says that around 120,000 Irish fought with the British allies in World War II. He says that 5,000 soldiers deserted the Irish Defence Force in neutral Ireland. They joined the British army to fight against Hitler's regime. This is something that was played down by successive Irish governments and the Irish media, because of Dan Harvey's book, A Bloody Dawn, we now know the full story. The Irish Times, just this week actually, had another interesting story. The Archbishop of Armagh and Primate of All Ireland, Eamon Martin, has publicly stated that the Catholic Church were wrong and mistaken to condemn the atrocities of the anti-treaty parties, but not condemn the atrocities of the pro-treaty government during Ireland's Civil War. That was between 1922 and 1923. The Church's strong support at the time for the government left a long-lasting bad taste, he says, while at the same time excommunicating anti-treaty activists. The archbishops were near unanimous in condemning the anti-treaty side, instructing priests not to absolve them in confession and to refuse them Holy Communion. Now, the same bishops had accepted the morality of the Republican call during the War of Independence, you know, a couple of years before that. There were 81 executions carried out by the new Irish government during the Civil War. The Archbishop of Dublin at the time, Edward Byrne, did not publicly condemn those executions, even though they were wrong morally. Archbishop Martin has said that the Catholic Church were not impartial in their statements about the violence and destruction during that war. And this fed the narrative that the government could act with impunity, and often they did, unfortunately, while the other side could do no good. It's taken 100 years for the Catholic Church, the top men in Ireland, to admit that they were wrong. Well, I suppose better late than never. Well, that's it from me, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. I will go out with a medley from the Chieftains. Fare thee well until next time. And thanks once again for listening to this show.
You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.
That programme was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.